Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
Good morning on this beautiful Colorado weekend, and we are headed for a stretch of drier weather. It'll be a little warmer, but it's going to be so beautiful to be outside. You want to make sure you take advantage of it. We're going to talk some fishing today, both conventional and fly fishing. We're going to get reports on the Northeast Lakes. We're going to get some reports on the Poudre River from St. Pete's Fly Shop. The Poudre is actually fishing much better than any of us anticipated with these burn scars. They'll also update us on some of the closures up on Highway 14, what's open and what's not. We're going to talk later on in the show, too, a little bit about hunting, hunting supplies, and maybe if you should be buying stuff early, can you find ammo? Can you find broadheads? We're going to cover a lot of that. And finally, follow us on Facebook at Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. We're going to be putting up a lot of information as we get up-to-date reports. We put podcasts from this show up there. We put videos, links to our videos as we add them to our YouTube channel there. And I think we're probably getting close to where we're going to start looking at another session of trivia where the answers end up on the Facebook page. So if you want to stay involved in the show, follow us on Facebook at Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Let's go to the phones. And joining us, he's a guide. He's been involved in the fishing industry for years, started within fishermen at Camp Fish. You hear him here all the time. That's Brad Peterson from Brad Peterson Outdoors. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, Terry.
It's a beautiful day. Fishing's been different this year, hasn't it?
You know, it sure has. The weather, as everyone probably knows, has been a little weird. We had a late spring and kind of the water temperature stayed cool a lot later than normal, and then all of a sudden we jumped up to that 100 degree heat that we had, and then that little stretch of kind of cooler weather with some rain, and now I'd say we're finally getting into a more seasonal pattern.
I think so, and one of the things, you know, a lot of things change as we get into this summer seasonal pattern that'll probably take us pretty fairly into the end of August. And some people hesitate to fish. They call it the dog days of summer. I have always enjoyed this period because even though you may have to change your tactics, you may have to do something different, once you figure it out, it's usually stable for a while where you can approach things the same way for a few weeks. You're not going through constant change. You know, one blessing we've had here on the Front Range is at least that we've gotten pretty good water. Our reservoirs are in pretty good shape. The rivers and reservoirs on the West Slope, as we're going to talk about later in the show, aren't doing nearly as well. But what are you seeing out there, Brad?
Yeah, Terry, that's exactly right. That our reservoirs are probably in a lot better shape than I really expected. That rain we had in, you know, the middle of June there allowed the lakes to top back off again. So we're looking really good for water level above normal. But as you mentioned in the intro there, that warmer and drier conditions coming is going to cause those reservoirs, particularly when you start talking in the Northeast. I mean, from that Longmont area out to Nebraska, those lakes are all irrigation lakes. So as soon as it gets hot and dry, those farmers are going to start needing that water. And so we're going to start seeing them drop a lot quicker. And that's going to change the fishing up a little. But as you said, once those lakes start dropping and it stays kind of consistent in the dropping, consistent weather, once you find the pattern, you're able to stay on them for the next 2 months. So it's worth the effort trying to figure it out.
No, it really is. Anywhere in particular you've either been or heard that the bite is pretty good?
You know, out in the northeast part of the state, Jackson, the wipers have been pretty good. It's been really consistent over the last 2-3 weeks. They haven't got up to start boiling, but they are shallow in the water column. So the most effective pattern I've found is running planer boards and shallow running shad-style crankbaits, you know, and keep it in that top 5 feet of the water column, and you're going to do good. It is a bit light sensitive, the bike, and that it's going good until about 10:30 or 11, and then the bike kind of tails off for a bit middle of the day and picks back up in the afternoon. Last week there was a tournament out at Sterling, and the people got on some fish. It took a little while to figure it out, and you had to be patient because the fish were in the locations, but you most of the big weights were caught casting jigs in either like a night crawler or a plastic and just really picking a spot apart. So once you get out there and start fishing and catch a few fish, really spend some time on those spots because there's quite a few fish concentrated in areas. And then I'm hearing, you know, closer to the front range, Union's actually fishing pretty good, and so is Horsetooth if you're wanting to look for some smallmouth bass.
What about Boyd? What are you seeing there?
You know, Boyd has had a major hatch of shad this year, and so it's making it a little more challenging. They have recently stocked a lot of those areas, the lakes in the Longmont area, with some smaller trout that people are catching. But the bass fishing, if you're going out for bass, it's not going to be a lot of bites, but the fish you're going to get are going to be pretty good quality. Look for shoreline-associated cover that's on the deeper edge of it. As that water drops, those fish pull out to the edges. So flooded brush, the docks that are on the deeper water, the deeper weed edges, and using something that's moving pretty slow, you know, a Ned rig or a jig and craw, something like that seems to be producing most of the fish. And that's a similar pattern to what's going on at Lawn Hagler. Now, if people do want to travel, there is a good walleye bite going on up at Glendale. And I know you fished that summer bite up there several times, Terry.
Yeah, we've actually done a couple television shows up there. It used to be funny. I remember 20-some years ago, people would, you know, Glendale would fill up in the trees and you'd catch those bigger walleyes casting right up in the trees. And then as the water dropped and the bait were still in there, you'd catch them right on the first drop off, either with jigs or bottom bouncers or maybe trolling over the deep weed edge. Then it got to be July and those fish would school up and they'd be out over 50, 60 feet of water, but 5 feet deep. I mean, what your partner, Charlie Black, actually ran the camera boat for one of those shows where Gary Darling and I just virtually harvested fish. Well, we actually didn't keep any, but you couldn't keep the fish off the lines. And I think it made a believer out of Charlie when it came to planer boards. And we used planer boards to get away from the boat, but we were just a few feet behind the planer boards because if we got much deeper with our lures than about 5-6 feet, we weren't catching fish. But boy, once we dialed it in, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, and that trolling bite is still going on right now. The lake is still, like a lot of our lakes here in Colorado, fairly high, so there is water up in Muddy and Airport Bay. So those areas, you can get in there and troll with planer boards above the weeds or the flooded brush. And then as it's dropping, a lot of the fish are starting to pull out. So if you want to go up and jig fish, the points kind of at the mouth of those bays or down near the dam are holding fish, and you're starting to see that suspended bite out in the middle like you're talking about. So you really have, you know, several ways to go catch numbers of fish with a chance at a real quality fish up there at Glendale right now.
Yeah, it's a great fishery, and I think it'll probably maintain. One of the bites up there that I haven't fished a lot, and that's when it gets towards fall, I've ice fished it, but I haven't really gone after the fall spoon bite much. Have you done that as we get, you know, that's something we're talking about, how this pattern's going to hold now for probably till the end of August, but we're still going to, once we get to that end of August, that phenomenal spoon bite starts around here. Do you see that up at Glendale too?
Yeah, that bite really kicks off in September. It can be a little bit earlier if the lake really drops and really pulls out of the coves, but I think this year you're talking, you know, that first week of September, that spoon jig and wrap bite is going to be there for numbers of fish, and then they kind of school up by size so you can find some, you know, there's a chance you can get into schools of some bigger fish, you know, those mid 20 inch fish. And it's fantastic. And this year I'm going to start guiding up there this fall for that spooning bite. I think it's one of the best fall bites we have in this northern Front Range region or up into Wyoming. So if people are looking for a good opportunity to do that, the crowds have kind of gone away. You know, you have availability for camping. So it's a great time to be up there on the water.
Well, I think we're going to talk more about the spoon and the jigging wrap glide bait type bite as we get towards the end of August. But it is a phenomenal bite. A good friend of yours and both of ours, Tom Bruno, and I actually wrote that section for the In Fisherman critical concept books for walleyes. And we actually used Pueblo Reservoir as our base to do the photographs and do a lot of what we did on that. But if it takes off, we'll talk more about that later. But right now it looks like there's some fishing to be caught. People need to get out there. I want to change things up just for a minute or two with you. I'm hearing that the Pothole Prairie area up in Canada was really dry this year. I know you're an avid waterfowl hunter and guide. You keep track of things. I'm hearing that might be affecting the duck population this year. What are you hearing?
Well, that's what I'm hearing as well. And the issue is, because of the closure of the border, the Fish and Wildlife Service in Canada didn't do their normal waterfowl counts. So we're kind of trying to piece the data together from different things rather than the standard stuff we would get on most years. But the Dakotas in some areas are 60 to 80% drier as far as they have that many fewer wetlands. And Montana is dry as well. Canada, you know, has not been getting the moisture. So we could be seeing a reduction in our fall migration on certain species in particular. You know, mallards have been down a little bit. Pintails are saying are really down. Widgeons are down. But yet, blue-winged teal and gadwall numbers are up. So I would recommend as a hunter kind of to pay attention to that, because the blue-winged teal and gadwalls are more early migrators, and the mallards are more of your late migrators. So you may see that some of our better hunting is going to come early in the season as far as the migration numbers than late. So by paying attention to that right now, you can plan out a little bit of your hunting season and maybe get some better success on a year where the duck numbers may be down a little bit.
Last question, then I have to let you go. As a waterfowl hunter, have you been out looking for ammunition, thinking it may be hard to get when we get to the season, and what have you found?
Yeah, I've been looking for ammunition for the last about year, and when I find the loads that I am used to shooting, I'm picking up several boxes just to make sure that I've got enough. It seems like the steel shot and the non-toxic shot is being manufactured, but it's coming in, you know, to different retailers at different times. So I've got a network of buddies that I hunt with, and we just kind of are in and out of sporting goods stores throughout the Front Range. And what you'll get is you'll get one guy calling someone else saying, hey, you know what, they've got number two shot in at this location. And so they'll either pick up some or you'll go grab some. So you really need to kind of be keeping your eyes open, even maybe when you're in the stores that sell, maybe you're in there looking for fishing gear, or you're in one of the stores that sells ammunition and sporting goods stuff, and you're in there looking for a baseball bat for one of your kids. Take some time and just walk by the hunting department and see what the ammunition looks like. And if there's something that you like to shoot, pick up, you know, five or six extra boxes from what you normally would have. And then that way you aren't going to have the concern when you get later in the season if these shortages continue.
We got to run, Brad, but if people want to book a trip with you, how do they find you?
You can find me on Facebook at Brad Peterson Outdoors, or give me a call at 303-829-3998.
All right. Thank you, my friend. You and I will get on the water together very soon.
Sounds good.
You bet. Brad Peterson, Brad Peterson Outdoors. By the way, that Glendo trolling bite we were talking about, if you go to my YouTube channel, The Best of Fishing with Terry Wickstrom, there's at least two videos of us doing that trolling bite at Glendale. We're going to take a timeout, then we're going to take you over on the west side of the mountains to the Rifle Gap area on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.